thank the Lord for all good praises to Him today that our lives bring and also the snow brings. Happened to read a psalm, I think it was Psalm 146, 47 in there, where it says the Lord sends the snow like wool, and I pray for it to be like wool for us, and also the frost. So God is faithful to water the earth. And here's a Christmas letter about peace from a son who was in college a few years, and he was away and trying to catch up with his parents with some news he had, and maybe you heard this before. Dear Mom and Dad, sorry I haven't written much lately. Life has been very hectic. The apartment I was living in burned to the ground. While running away from the fire, I fell and broke my leg. While in the hospital, I met a beautiful nurse, and we were married last week. My friends assure me that even though she has a drinking problem and does drugs, it won't affect our marriage because we are so much in love. She is from Russia, so we will be moving there after Christmas. Page 2. None of the things I have written on page 1 are true. However, I did flunk biology, and I thought you would be more understanding if you knew just how bad things could really get. Peace on earth, your son. And so, in the Bible, the Lord sends us peace through Christ. He's called the Prince of Peace. And one of the things the angels proclaimed right when Jesus was born and the shepherds heard it, peace on earth, and goodwill to men. And in God's Word, the word peace means to bring together. When Laura was singing there, I thought, breath of heaven, hold me together. Bring the peace of God to my heart. And so almost all peace in the Bible is connected to the Messiah. There's really no peace that man can find on his own. And so God sends us salvation and peace in the person of His Son. And when you're looking for peace, if you move to Christ, you'll find that peace in your soul. Not necessarily in a philosophy or in a teaching or even in a religious exercise. If those things help you, that's good. Maybe a measure of truth in those, but to turn to the person of Christ Himself. That's our goal. And so Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, and He said, my peace I give to you. And God's Word says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. So when you think about Jesus Himself, is He at peace right now in heaven? He would want to give that peace to us. He's not anxious. He's not flustered. He's not all shook up and saying, well, I wonder what's going to happen next. You know, there's a sense where He is the King of Kings and we get to follow Him. And so He wants to bring His peace to our anxious soul, and that's a part of His will for our lives. There's three questions to always ask ourselves in reference to peace that might be find helpful. And you can ask these questions every day, if not every week. I forgot my clicker, Jim and Jim, so you'll have to do the things for me. These things were taught to us pastors by Dr. Paul Holland, who's a retired professor of psychology at Geneva College. And he tried to bring the gospel to a place where people live in their thoughts and in their hearts. There's three ways of looking at ourselves. Well, first, the three questions that we ask ourselves on a regular basis is this. Am I at peace with myself? Okay, that's probably the hardest person to be at peace with, believe it or not, is you. Often other people will be more merciful to you than you'll be to yourself. So a question to ask, am I at peace with myself? Second question, am I at peace with others? That's also fairly difficult, but Jesus provides the way for that. And then the most important one, am I at peace with God? The most important question. So we ask ourselves those things on a regular basis. And remember that peace means to come together. So you come together with yourself. You come together with others. Is that a part of your goal in life? The Bible says it should be. And do you come together with God? Okay, now these three things might help you in terms of, are you at peace with yourself? There's three ways of looking at yourself that God allows for in our experience here, Don, as we walk our way toward Him. Number one, who I am. That's something that we know is created and loved by God. He has provided for us a position of dignity in creation. So right from the start, to know that we're dignified, we're loved, and we should know that, boy, God created us to honor Himself. That's who we are. Number one, however, is known only on a partial basis by the grace of God, because no one knows us like God knows us. We don't even know ourselves like God knows us. So who I am that the Lord knows would lead me to a measure of peace with myself. The second one is a critical one, who I think I am. Now this is something that, again, God would reveal to us, because without His help, we're not going to think right thoughts about ourselves. We're going to identify with ourselves with our gifts. You know, what are you all about? Well, I'm a banker, or I'm a preacher, or I fix cars. That's what you do. But tell me who you are. Okay, who I think I am. That's revealed to us by God. He's gracious to do that. We begin to say things about ourselves that the Bible says. We're a child of God through faith in Christ. When God looks at us, He says, because of Christ in our heart, with you, I am well pleased. I don't know if that hits your emotions throughout the week. God turns to Jesus and said, here's my Son with whom I am well pleased. And you're a child of God through being adopted by Christ. Then the Lord looks at you, really, and says, this is my daughter, this is my son, with them I am well pleased. God has that heart for you. So it's who I think I am. That's an important part. That's most of the time we live in number two. And then number three is where we get tripped up the most and will cause unrest in our soul. Who I think I ought to be. Okay, expectations I put on myself that God did not put there. Expectations that the world says I ought to have. I should have the best looking hair in the town. I should have one of the best cars. And all the things. You know, I should be the perfect weight. Who I think I ought to be. Self-expectations. And that is always going to be a little bit clouded, because you and I really, we have more blessings than we know, and we are also more fallen than we know. So that's going to be almost an idolatrous thing that we seek after in our own effort, who I think I ought to be. Now, the more we can live in number two and number one in terms of peace with ourselves, the healthier we're going to be. We're going to be brought together under the, you know, have an experience of the grace of God. We say, well, who I am? I'm who the Lord created, and I'm loved by Him. Who I think I am? Well, only the Bible could tell me that. If I sit here and tell you who I think I am, I'm going to tell you I'm, higher than I am or lower than I am. That's all inaccurate. Who I think I ought to be is really the area of religion. Religion being man's attempt to climb his way to God, which will always get us into trouble. So, peace to our hearts means, hopefully, that one, two are close together, and three is just absorbed into number two there. Who I think I ought to be is really who I am, because Christ made me that way. If the Lord looks at you and says, with you I am well pleased, then your basic attitude toward yourself is thankfulness. Well, I thank you, Lord, for your work in my life, for the gift of salvation that you bring. With my Savior, number two, who I am, or who I think I am, is the same as who I think I ought to be. Let me repeat that. when we were taught this over the course of about 3 hours, and we get 10 minutes of it here. So if your head's spinning, that's okay. Who I think I am with Jesus is who I think I ought to be. Because in Christ, I'm complete. Okay. If you want a Bible term for this, this is being justified before God by faith and having peace with Him. Therefore, having peace with yourself. So who you think you are and who you think you ought to be are pretty much the same people in Christ. You're complete in Him and you're satisfied in Him. And peace doesn't come from what we do. That's number three. Your peace doesn't come from what you do. Well, you prayed more last week than you did this week. That's not the basis of your salvation. It might flow from it. Peace comes from what God does and who He is. And so, again, if we could look at the gospel, yourself coming together, peace with yourself, who I think I am is who I think I ought to be only by the grace of God. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And so you can say, Lord, you still have a direction for me. The second slide shows the progress of growth. I don't know if we got a second one up there or not. There it is. Okay. I'm just repeating what I said there. I am who I think I ought to be because I am complete in Christ. And then there's growth in the Christian life. We don't just become complacent and self-satisfied. We say, the Lord leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. It's interesting to read the whole 23rd Psalm as a walk in sanctification. The Lord's my shepherd. I don't want anything else. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So if I'm going to eat and grow as a person, who's going to do it for me? The Lord's going to say, you don't even know what's good for you. Come over here and I'll feed you. You can lie down in the green pastures. He leads you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. The question we asked at the beginning here, are you at peace with yourself? You would say, I am by the grace of God. God is well pleased with me. Another way of looking at it in a Bible instance was in the case of the woman caught in adultery. Jesus said to her in this order, heard this example the other day, He said, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. So she, who she is, becomes under the grace of God. She trusts in Christ at that point. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Religion, which would not give us peace in our heart, would say this. Go and sin no more, and then I won't condemn you. That's not the good news. Okay, when Jesus came to the earth, He didn't come to say, go and sin no more, and I won't condemn you. So often that's the message that the world hears from the church, by the way. And so often that's the message we give one another. You know, well, if you don't sin anymore, I won't condemn you. But Jesus said, I won't condemn you. Now, because you know of my grace, go and sin no more. So that's all under, are you at peace with yourself? That's the hardest one. That's why I spent the longest time on it, and we're done with that question. And then moving to the other ones. Just a poem from Lewis Berry Chafer to kind of brings it together. He was a president of Dallas Seminary. He wrote a little phrase that said this, nearer to God I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I am as near as He. Now, that's not saying that He's walking exactly like Jesus walked, but that's saying His heart is as safe as Jesus' heart toward the Father. Nearer to God I cannot be, for in the person of His Son I am as near as He. That's part of the gospel and the welcoming and the adoption that the Lord does bring to our soul. So we could say with the Bible, Christ Himself is our peace. We could be at peace with ourselves. Second question, way back in the sermon, was, are you at peace with others? This is also fairly difficult, but the Lord gives us some good directions at this. If I'm at peace with myself, more likely for me to work to be at peace with others if possible. That doesn't mean we're friends with everybody or reconciled to everybody. They might not want to be at peace with us, but we could be at peace with them. And the Bible makes it clear how to do this. When you're at odds with another person because you have done something wrong, you were to go to that person and say, I was wrong in what I did, and I am sorry, and with God's help, I won't do that. Okay, it's real simple. You go to the other person when you feel like you are not at peace with them, and you know you have done something. Usually, each of us wrong somebody at least once a week. Would you say that was a merciful assessment? I wrong somebody at least once a week. So I probably should go to somebody and say, I think I did this against you, and I apologize, and I was wrong when I did that. And I shouldn't add to it. It's because I had pepperoni the night before, and I was all worked up. I had too much coffee, so I was wound up, and that's why I lashed out at you. Don't start making excuses for yourself. Just say, this is what I did. I was wrong. I apologize for that. And I hope you could forgive me. That's Jesus said, that's how you were at peace with others. Does he offer any shortcuts? Not really. So, if you want the Prince of Peace to be in your relationships that you have with others, you put that into practice at least once a week. And maybe more if necessary. The other thing we do, the Bible says, if somebody has sinned against you, offended you, what do? You go again. So you're always going. The man or woman of peace is always going to people and saying, how's everything between you and me? Is everything good? Maybe you've said that, to somebody in your circle, family. How's everything between you and me? Is everything good? If they have sinned against you, you basically say, hey, you know what? You did wrong against me. That was wrong what you did. But I want you to know I forgive you. So you offer the forgiveness on your end so that you experience peace with others. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with others? Christ breaks down the dividing wall of hostility, the Bible says in Ephesians. And so you go in love, you go in truthfulness, you go with a measure of mercy, looking to your own faults when you go to another person and say, you sinned against me. You meet them at the foot of the cross. So you're not there to hammer them or to tell them they're the worst person you ever met, although that may be true. You're there to say, you did this wrong, and that was a sin, but I'm here to forgive you. And I hope you're sorry for what you did. You try to leave off the part, you dummy, at the end of it. But to be at peace with others, huge opportunity for the gospel. We were talking in our family about the different wars that have occurred in the past just 120 years. Probably more wars than other parts of history, just because the Lord is coming back soon. So people get all self-oriented. And I often ask the question, what are these countries fighting about? Is it land? Is it one wants to have the other guy's stuff? What are they fighting about? That's how hard it is to be at peace with others. The same thing plays out between you and somebody in your family, you and somebody at work, or wherever they may be. Are you at peace with others? Christ could bring that if you follow his ways. And third and most important thing that will drive us to peace with ourselves and peace with others, are you at peace with God? The song Silent Night puts it well. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. When you stand before God in fellowship and in relationship, could you honestly say in your soul, all is calm, all is bright? That's because you've turned to Christ. And you're 100% at peace with Him. And if you're at peace with God, gives you a measure of joy, and it gives you some motivation to be at peace with yourself and others. And that's His will for you. Always calm, always bright in the soul. If your soul is troubled, it's because sin is there, and He wants to talk to you about that. Peace with God only comes through Jesus. Isaiah 53 says, the judgment that brought us peace was upon Him. The judgment that brings you peace is not going to be on you. That's hell and condemnation. The judgment that brings you peace is on Christ on the cross. He reconciles all things to Himself through the cross. It's like God signs a unilateral peace treaty and says to the worst sinner on earth, maybe that was you. Paul thought it was him, the Apostle Paul. God signs a unilateral peace treaty and says, I am reconciled to you. I will not count this sin against you. Now, do you accept my terms of peace? And you say, yes, yes, I accept Jesus, the Prince of Peace. That means that nothing and nobody's outside of God's reconciling work. All are welcome. And what a beautiful, wonderful thing it is. How we deal with our sin on a regular basis, there's one of the steps in the 12-step program says this, when we know we're at peace with God, we become entirely ready to have God remove all our character defects. That's a good goal for the Christian. We know God says, I'm at peace with you, Jesus is your peace. So we say, okay, Lord, I am entirely ready for you to remove all my character defects. And there's probably 100 of them, you know, conservative estimate. And God goes to work. And more we get to taste the peace of God. So we thank God and ask yourself those questions on a regular basis. Am I at peace with myself? Am I at peace with others? Go if you're not. And am I at peace with God through Jesus? And if you need help, you know, turn to Jesus. Say, Lord, save me from self and sin. And He'll set you on the path of peace. I'll close with a prayer I found from Augustine that I thought was very helpful. And then we'll have communion together. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this prayer was prayed, and we pray with our hearts. Oh, Lord, to be turned from you is to fall, but to be turned to you is to rise. Give us in all our sorrows your peace, in all our dangers your protection. From all our sins, your forgiveness, and in all our duties, your help. In Jesus' name, amen.